is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Golazzo! Unless you're Argentinian. Good evening, how are you? Nice to be here. My name is Vinny. You're listening to News Talk 1010. I'm on for an hour. It's bearable, I'd say. Pin them back, give it a shot. You can call in on 416 872 1010 or you can text the show on 71010. Why did you start the show with such ferocity, I hear you say? Well, because of the old World Cup, innit? The old football, as I still stubbornly and in the minority call it. Congratulations to Germany. Well done. Well done, you. Love what you did there. It was a pretty big atmosphere here in Toronto, actually. The fantastic goal in extra time by Götze to beat Argentina in the 2014 FIFA World Cup was felt very much on Front Street here in Toronto, which was closed off for the World Cup celebrations. And this is what a group of Germany fans were singing. This is what it sounded like just earlier today. It's just a few hours ago. They'll all be absolutely hammered by now. They were half cut at the time. Keep it up. I feel like they need some artistic direction, you know. I think she said, watch my daughter. Funny time to ask for a babysitter. Yeah, general happiness on Front Street and, of course, across the world in the bars of Berlin into extra time. It was getting pretty late there. It's a Sunday and the Germans are organised. But you know what? It was time to stay up and have a drink or two. And they're going to be up all night. It was a massive, massive celebration across Germany. Dancing Germans, singing Germans, screaming Germans. Germany was a crazy place of happy people. But, you know, just stay out of Poland is all I'm saying. You know, you can take it too far. It's a bit of an old school reference, isn't it? It never gets old. It actually does a bit. Milking it there. So that was that. Well done. And the good thing is, of course, now that we don't have to put up with any World Cup music. World Cup music is like, it's pretty much every event that ever happens. When you try and write a song to it, it never works. It's like forced fun, isn't it? It never really works. It's just, it's like watching a sex scene with your mum on TV. It feels awkward. And although it's artistic and creative in some ways, you'd rather just not get involved. But there have been a multitude of World Cup songs, which we can now put behind us. And I never actually went through them. So I figured since it's all over, it would be a good time to look back at the World Cup songs of 2014, starting with Ricky Martin. His entry this year, if you didn't hear it, was called Vida. And he sings in Spanish. Came out as a homosexual a couple of years ago. I was astonished. I mean, really. So that's Ricky Martin's effort with Vida. Now, what happened in England, I hear you ask? Well, we got thrashed quite beautifully. And perhaps it was thanks to Gary Barlow from Take That with this, The Greatest Day. And didn't it do us good, England? Well done, us. Everyone was like, oh, Brazil were gutted. Yeah, at least they got a bit further. Do you think we're like? This is Mr. Nandos, or something like that. Summer Nights in Brazil. Not too offensive. This one's called We Will Find a Way from Santana and Wycliffe, featuring Avicii and Alex someone. It's easier to mention who's not in it. Here it is. And this one is my favourite. This is Ahmed Chawi with Magic System. There's magic in the air. I actually genuinely like it. I know. Uh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I've done a somewhat pop route there to like that. This one is The World Is Ours from Allo Black and David Corey. Or someone else, I don't know. I'm getting old. I listen to talk radio. What do I know? I'm gonna say, you've got a beer belly. Right, a daughter should be listening to it. That's all I'm saying. This is Don Amar. You can see why I'm not in music radio anymore, can't you? So I've got my glasses on. So this is Don Amar, apparently. Terrible racket, the whole thing. They all sound the same to me. That's Pura Vida. This one is Adelon Olé, the stadium anthem mix. Because you care. That's a rip-off. Absolute rip-off. Then, of course, we had Shakira featuring Carlinhos Brown with the wonderfully named La La La. It's going to work internationally. Anyone can say that. Although La is actually no in Arabic. So, you know, got to know your audience. And just pause it there for a sec because, of course, the biggest track for the World Cup this year was... well, actually, if you haven't heard this, then you've done very well to get away from it. 10 points to you. Good work not listening to any form of music radio ever. And I'm sorry to have ruined things now by absolutely infuriating and despicably punishing your eardrums with this utter monstrosity. Again, wouldn't be good in music radio, would I? Wouldn't. Imagine this on Virgin. Coming up, drivel all the time. It's not going to work. Know your audience, know your station. This is Pitbull. Pitbull, yes. Featuring Jennifer Lopez's bum, as far as I can see. I don't know if she actually sings in it, but the video's got lots of her rotating posterior. Starts well. I like this. Got like samba flavours. I see what they've done. It would be quite a good record if it wasn't for Pitbull. Unfortunately, it's by Pitbull.
One, yeah.
If you haven't seen Pitbull, by the way, he's a bald man in his mid-40s, I'd suggest, who wears his trousers just underneath his nipples. Revealing a bulge. When the going gets tough, and as you can see, he doesn't really sing. He more sort of talks. It's sort of it's halfway between an attempt at singing and poor white man hip hop, really. Yeah. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. Pitbull there. The only thing that I can see he's got in common with a pit bull is that after an extensive risk assessment, you really do want to put him down. But I don't know where he came from because he's been doing all sorts of things. He just popped up like an unwanted erection. It's ridiculous. He's been everywhere for like 2 years now. And I don't know because it's not talent, clearly. Where did he come from? And he looks like Dave from the bank. You know what I mean? I've just got to sing a quick song and jiggle my genitalia around, and then I'll help you with your mortgage. Do you know what I mean? What's he doing? I don't understand it. I don't know why he's there. I mean, we could say that about a lot of people in music, but he is number one in the... Who are you? It proves how dodgy the World Cup is, because not only did they buy their way into Qatar for 4 years, which, by the way, will be hilarious. If you're not into football, start watching soccer over the next few years, because Qatar is going to be hilarious. It's going to be 22 men in an oven kicking a pig's bladder around. It's going to be gorgeously funny. People will pass out. So that shows corruption because Qatar have been doing dodgy dealings with FIFA. FIFA, by the way, run by a man called Sepp Blatter, who is the evil man from every movie ever. But he does need an English accent. Come on, we always get it, don't we? We always get it. If they'd have just made him English in maybe a wheelchair with a cat, boom. That's what I'm saying. But, yeah, I think Pitbull must have bought his way in because it wasn't talent. Are you a Pitbull fan? Would you like to hear more? Then call in 416 872 1010. Well done, pop pickers. You can also text the show on 71010 about anything you like. Actually, I want someone to defend Pitbull. There must be someone. somewhere that's insane. If you like Pitbull, phone me up and tell me why you like him. 416-872-1010. If you are Pitbull, not a dog. Actually, if you are a Pitbull and you can use a phone, then do call in. I mean, you'll be probably more intelligent than some of the callers we get, so you crack on. But if you are and or like Pitbull, then call in. And watch the phone lines go crazy. Ready? Call now. 416-872-1010. Ba-ba-da-ba. They'll be in droves and various other vehicles. Not that lit up, is it? It's not that lit up.
No one.
So I rest my case. I'm so glad because I really couldn't be bothered with the argument, which I would have won, let's be honest. When we come back, we're going to talk about something. I don't know. I don't want to touch it briefly. We're going to do something light and something dark. I want to talk about the Catholic Church and paedophilia, which is quite dark and obviously controversial. But we won't linger on it too long before we move on to a man that's bought a kingdom. Yes, a man that's bought a kingdom because he wants his daughter to be a princess. He's an American. It's a fascinating story. All that and more coming your way. You're listening to News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Notice you've been doing a lot of remixing recently, Elliot, the producer.
DJ.
DJ Elliot there on the wheels of steel. Put your hands to the ceiling. Hope you're getting that good feeling. And other things that I used to say when I never took drugs. Actually, but I did go to a few raves. I smoked weed. Shoot me. Afterwards, not during. It's not really conducive with... you know. But no, a lot of people I knew did. And they were good days. You know, so you feel like DJing, chopping up that vocal once again, you can do that, Elliot.
Thank you.
But if you do it too much... Oh, my God, you're so fired. How are you? My name's Vinny. You're listening to Vinny White. I'm on every week. I'm also on a little bit during the week this week because Bullard's going to be away. The Bullard. He'll be gone on Monday and Tuesday. So I guess that means I'm in 12 to 1, isn't it? I haven't done it for a few months. 12 to 1 tomorrow and 12 to 1 on Tuesday. And I'll be dotted around, smeared out like a fine-ish spread across summer because sometimes I fill in for Jim Richards, who has so much holiday, so much vacation. So it's always a pleasure to be here. And you can always get in touch with me on Facebook, should you feel the need. My name is Vinny White, V-I-N-N-E-Y, White. And you can get in touch with me on all sorts of other things like Twitter and all that other stuff that all DJs say. And it's, frankly, rather boring. Okay. So Pope Francis has been quoted as saying that reliable data indicates that about 2% of clergy in the Catholic Church are pedophiles. Or to put it pessimistically, about a 1 in 50 chance of being molested by a priest. The Pope said that the abuse of children was like leprosy infecting the church this weekend, according to the Italian newspaper La Repubblica. He vowed to confront it with severity and the severity that it demands. La Repubblica devotes its first three pages to an account of a conversation between Pope Francis and the editor of the newspaper, which took place actually last Thursday, but they've just organised it into the paper. The papal spokesman said a sharp note that the interview was not in the normal sense of the word, although he admitted it conveyed a sense of spirit of the conversation. In other words, you could argue that lightly, and not with any actual solid stuff to get your teeth into, the Vatican now saying that this interview didn't actually take place. Well, it did take place, but they're saying that the newspaper have skewed it, so I should just for balance mention that. But in the interview, apparently, La Repubblica, Pope Francis was quoted as saying that 2% is the estimate that's come from advisors, which would represent that there's about 8,000 priests out of a global number of about 414,000 priests that are active pedophiles. Key word there, active pedophiles. So, let's be honest, considerably higher than most organisations, religious or not, yeah? You know, if 2% of, I don't know, your workplace was pedophilic, I think you'd be somewhat concerned. And of course, let's not forget that these guys have got access to children on a regular basis, and they're in a position of trust, which is exactly how they've managed to get into this trouble in the first place, because a lot of it has been brushed under the carpet. Now, I do appreciate this Pope more than pretty much every other Pope before him. And I think that although he's a bit more groovy leaning, at least he's addressing it. I mean, before it was like, paedophilia of what? Who? Look at that big gold church. That's nice. Why don't we look at that? I like giving to African countries. What? But now it's like, okay, let's confront it. And that's great. So, you know, as much as I'm sort of being flippant about this, good. At least you've apparently got the gumption to address it. Now, the Vatican spokesman, Father Federico Lombardi, denied that the Pope Francis had said there were cardinals that were paedophiles. Last year, Pope Francis strengthened the Vatican's laws against child abuse and earlier this month begged forgiveness for the victims of sexual abuse by priests at a meeting with the victims since his election. Many survivors of the abuse by priests are angry at what they see as the Vatican's failure to punish senior officials who have been accused of covering up scandals. And it's been well documented that without question, some priests that have been in hot water and have had questions about their previous behaviour regarding paedophilia have just been moved to another diocese or ward. And this is on an international level. So, look, understandably, there is concern. But, as I say, at least they appear to be addressing it in some way, shape or form. Asked in the same interview about the celibacy rule for priests, Pope Francis recalled that it was adopted 900 years after the death of Jesus Christ and pointed out that the Eastern Catholic Church allows its priests, to this day, to marry. The problem certainly exists, but it's not on a large scale. It will need time, but the solutions are there, and I will find them, he said. Which, again, somewhat brief. But I think that we have to address part of the issue here, is this celibacy rule. And it really is quite actually a matter of human behaviour. If you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is a theory in psychology proposed by Maslow way back in 1943, he wrote a paper called A Theory of Human Motivation, which has been sort of adopted by it as a sort of grounding for many psychologists since. And he said that there is a sort of pyramid shape, and at the bottom are the things you just, as a human, have to have. You have to have them, and that's the way things are. And then as you go up the pyramid, you don't necessarily need them all. So at the bottom, there's psychological things. The second one is safety, of course, which is nice to have, but you don't necessarily need it. Then is love, which again, inarguable, is gorgeously lovely to have. But, you know, it's not the first thing that you look for when your house is blown up. And of course, above that is esteem, and then there's self-actualization. So without turning this into a rather dull psychological theory, the fact of the matter is that at the bottom of the things that this man says that are needed by human beings are breathing, food, water, sex, sleep, and excretion. In other words, eating, pooing it out, having a pee, all the basics, and sex. And sex was in there. And this is the one thing that I would like to conclude, if I may be so bold. And you're welcome to get involved, of course, on 416-872-1010. And you can text the show on 71010. I'm always interested in your opinion, whether they're in line with mine or not. But I say, let priests marry if they want to get married, and let them have sex. You know. What do you think that when he marries couples, what do you think they do when they go home? They bonk. They bonk like a rabbit on heat having just boshed a couple of bunny Viagras. And it's perfectly healthy. It's okay. I don't know when there was this sort of sex. Oh, my God. OMG. I don't know if the Vatican say OMG, really. Although they'd be in a good position. But, you know, let people have sex. Is that? I hope someone's doing it as I speak. Bit weird, but you're welcome to. If you've just, you know, maybe you're having dinner with your other half. And, you know, I won't be offended if you don't listen to the end of the show, is what I'm saying. I encourage it. And on a genuine note of seriousness, I would imagine it would be about time for the church to say that they should encourage it too. I appreciate tradition, but things can change. And, I mean, after all, it was the Christian faith that happily burnt women as witches in their thousands. I didn't see anyone burning on the way here. You know what I mean? So we are allowed to change it. I didn't see any burning witches on the way here today at all. I didn't see anyone sacrificing babies and building churches funded by stolen gold. Not saying that the church doesn't necessarily do some good things. Not saying that it's a one-sided argument. But I am saying, if in my humble and somewhat reasonably intelligent opinion. Don't want to go too far. I would suggest that one of the systemic problems with the Catholic Church and various other religions on the world, around the world for that matter, is this idiotic denial of people to have sex. That is my two penneth. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1010.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yes, it is. You can call in on 416-872-1010 if you want to get stuck into this somewhat heavy debate, but well, we can do serious every now and then. And, of course, you can text the show on 71010. I've got Lynn in Toronto. Can you put her through? Because I still haven't quite worked out this phone system. Hello, Lynn. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Lynn. Nice to hear from you. How are you?
Hi. Very nice to speak to you.
Tell me your thoughts.
Well, I'm an Eastern Rite Catholic, and my husband is a Western Rite Catholic, and I am a retired Catholic teacher. Mm. And I've had many, many years of experience with the church, with Catholic teaching, also working with priests and nuns over the years. But I feel very offended by the discussion that somehow pedophilia has something to do with priests not having sex, basically. Mm. And I think this is a very, very flawed discussion, and I think it is one that needs to be discussed. There is a very big difference between a priest who is in need of being close, let's just say, to a woman, mm-hmm. and there have been priests, many priests over the years, that would either have affairs with married women, mm. or they would leave the priesthood and marry a single woman, and priests that are normally, I'm going just to say normal men with normal needs, mm. are going to look for an available consenting woman. They mm. are not going to go after children. And I think we have to be very, very careful not to bring in this discussion of priests marrying with pedophilia. I think they're two very distinct conversations, and they're dangerous to bring up in the same conversation. Mm. There are people that are pedophiles within the church. They either go into the priesthood because they know they'll have access, or they go in maybe to repress those urges, but they have nothing to do with the thousands of wonderful priests who are either celibate mm. or choose, as Eastern Rite Catholics do, to marry and work within parishes mm. as opposed to maybe being in order and being celibate, because even Eastern priests, there are Eastern priests that are celibate as well. Mm. But I like the conversation. I think it's an important one to have, but I really don't think
you don't
we
see
should
the
talk
link.
About
yeah. Yeah.
a priest marrying in the same discussion with priests that are pedophiles.
Yeah, I think one thing we should make very clear is that, I'm sure you knew this, but I'll just say it anyway. At no point do I say that there is an automatic suggestion that paedophilia suddenly seems a good alternative because celibacy is that way. It's not as black and white as that. But I would say, I would argue this point with you, if I may, Lynn. There's fairly wholesome, reasonable evidence to suggest that homosexuality is more prevalent within areas such as prisons, where you have no access to women. And there is great evidence to suggest that there is more paedophilia in the church than any other organised, let's say business, okay, than other business. So why do you think that it has become so rife? Do you think, I think you said something there about opportunists, do you think that might be the problem?
I think that both cases are concerning, but I think there are those that are paedophiles that do actually go into the priesthood or work with children in other capacities. And mm. in other capacities, we shouldn't just talk about the priesthood, but in other capacities where they know they will have access to children.
Mm. I understand.
But I do think there are a small percentage of these pedophiles that perhaps feel in some way they've been called by God, they have these urges, and maybe they go into the priesthood thinking that they can repress these urges. Unfortunately, they obviously can't, and their victims can speak about that. Mm. But I think when we talk about heterosexual priests, I really do believe that there are many, many ways that they meet women, they have contact with women, whether in their own parishes or through education or through conferences or whatever. And they do have access if they so choose, even though they have obviously pledged not to do so. But to have relationships of different kinds with women, those priests are not going to go after children. And I really think we need to make this clear.
It is part of the problem, though, at the top. You have this very clear hypocrisy because the church, who, well, many walks of the church condemn homosexuality in various degrees, seems to be far more involved with it and paedophilia, as I say, than organisations of similar size and structure.
And really, I'm not sure if perhaps, you know, obviously in my lifetime, this has really very much come into the light and we're all looking at it. Yeah. And it's a terrible thing and obviously it can never be condoned. But I do think at other levels in other organizations, it exists as well. And I think it's up to the hierarchy of the church to really come down very, very hard on bishops and other people that are in authority in the church to weed some of these people out because it can never be condoned. And like I said, I think, you know, the discussion of marrying priests is a very, very valid conversation, but I don't think we should have this conversation in respect to priests that
good
are
stuff,
obviously
Lynn.
Pedophiles.
I appreciate you calling your time a lot. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
See you later. Lynn there from Toronto. And when is that another Lynn as well? Lynn 2. 2.0. Let's have another quick Lynn. I mean, if your name isn't Lynn, you know, you're welcome to call in, but I do have a penchant for the Lynns. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, Vinny. How are you?
Not too bad. Give me your point on this one.
Okay, I think that Lynn had made some good points.
Yeah.
However, I found it quite offensive the way you flippantly spoke about Christians sacrificing children, burning witches. Followers of Jesus did not do things like that. Please be clear on this.
I meant organized religion in general. And
well,
if we go back far enough in Christianity, there's certainly murders involved during the Crusades. So whilst I'm
they're not followers of Jesus if they do such horrible things.
Well,
they can't be. That's not possible.
Well, it's a lovely thought, but I'm afraid it really isn't that case. I mean, you can't tell me that no Christian has ever committed murder.
Well, a follower of Jesus, I guess it depends on the situation, an individual situation, but you can't generalize like that. Mm. And certainly never have sacrificed children. That's the god Moloch. That's what pagans did.
Yeah, and Mayans and various other people. But I guess that was my point, really, and I'm sorry if it was lost. Lynn, I've got to say this, because otherwise we're going to get lost in it all, and I have to be very clear on what I was pointing out. My point is that the church has the ability to change its ethics, morals, code and standard, as it has done in the past in other areas, and all other organised religions have as well. I hope that makes it a bit clearer.
I do believe that they should be allowed to marry, though. I think that would be a really quite fine idea.
You and me both, my friend.
Yeah.
And if I ever meet you, I think you're... Is it too late? Could I marry you, Lynn?
I'm too old for you, but boy, we would have fun.
I'd enjoy our late night debates over a small bottle of whiskey, Lynn. Take care, love. I liked her. Actually, there is, on this note, something that was rather sad, I found, actually, and I'm sure the previous Lynns would also find it sad. We'll finish on this when it comes to somewhat absurdities within organised religion. I was quite saddened to hear this week.
It was an incredible moment for both of us, and it was a chance for us to share our love.
These are a few pictures from Christian Meinhardt's wedding to her girlfriend, but she says posting one of those pics to her Facebook page was enough to get her expelled from school.
I've never received anything like that before. I was utterly in shock.
She received this letter from Southwestern Christian University the day she got back from her honeymoon. It reads in part, "Due to this recent event, you will not be able to attend SCU in the future."
It compares gay marriage to being able to smoke a cigarette in a restaurant, and I felt like it was a very degrading letter.
Meinhardt is a graduating senior. She had academic and athletic scholarships to play basketball. Now, before being accepted, each student must sign a code of conduct agreeing to the religious standard of the school.
It wasn't something I just signed and went on with, but
the desire to play basketball and remain in sports and be a part of that team was there.
And the desire to continue my education with a scholarship was there.
The student handbook includes what's called a lifestyle covenant. It reads similar to the Bible verse Galatians 5:19, listing what the school considers sinful acts. among those, homosexuality. But Meinhardt says she's being held to a different standard than other students.
Also in the handbook, it says that not maintaining your health is against school policy. Well, they're not punishing the obese students at our school, or they're not punishing students who are having premarital sex.
Ryan Kissel with the ACLU is supporting her stance.
Here, this university's own student code prohibits discrimination. And what we have right here is a very patent case of discrimination, where Christian was singled out and expelled without any notice whatsoever.
Yeah, so there's one of those sort of backward things that caught my attention this week, where a gay couple, two females, got married, which is a legal right in the particular state that she lives in the United States, and indeed federally now. And it was shocking to see that she was then expelled from a Catholic school. Not necessarily because of the marriage. She probably would have got away with it, so to speak, if she hadn't posted photographs on her Facebook page of the wedding, which then drew attention to the fact that she was married to a woman, and she got asked to leave the school. So we'll keep an eye on that legal case, because I think that could be quite an interesting one as the year bubbles by. All right, on slightly happier notes, let's move on. But I do want to say thank you very much, because every now and then, I touch on the serious. Now I'm going to remove my gum and talk about Kickstarter campaigns to make potato salads. Far more important, of course. Kickstarter, last week I reported on this, a guy that decided to raise money to make a potato salad. This is the fantastic power of the internet. The fundraiser, who calls himself Zach Danger Brown from Columbus, Ohio, initially posted the Kickstarter page as a spoof, pitching for $10 to allow him to make just one potato salad. However, his potato salad got somewhat out of control when last week I told you that he'd raised $4,045 and he still had 26 days of funding to go. So we need to check in on potato salad news. What's going on with Zach Danger Brown? What could be happening? Well, it's gone a bit crazy. he said last week, I've noticed a lot of backers, not just from Columbus, but all around the world. I'm not sure what to do with the potato salad. It's going to have to be a big pot, and I'm going to have to mail it out, because part of the deal, you see, was that if you donate a bit of money, you get a bit of the potato salad. He makes a profit. Everyone's a winner. Nice deal. And who doesn't like a patata? So, that's what was going on. Well, checking in a week later, he now has 5,987 backers and has raised a total of $49,505. If you're thinking about work tomorrow feeling depressed, then just realise you don't have to anymore. Just try to make a potato salad on Kickstarter and you'll get 50 grand. There's still 19 days to go. Unbelievable. And then I started reading about other ones. A guy called Cody Chavez has bid to raise $8,000 to get an orchestra to play Sonic the Hedgehog music. That's good. Someone else wanted $2,000 to make a pack of cards to honour farmers everywhere. I guess they'd have farmers on the cards. I'm going to. Rather bizarrely, a project that planned to drop a grand piano on a pyramid of champagne glasses and call it art. They got enough money and then some, filmed it, popped it on YouTube. I wonder if we should be probably looking at African countries that are starving in the war in the Middle East, but who doesn't like a piano on a champagne glass? So if you want to donate, then obviously you need some sort of mental health advice. But I can tell you now that if you're one of the big pledgers, if you pledge more than $110, you will get the Platinum Potato Package, where you will receive a book, a shirt with the potato salad pictured on it, a hat along with a bite of the potato salad, a photo of the man making the potato salad, a thank you, and he'll make your name read out in the video of him making the potato salad. So, you know, if you're a hardcore potato salad lover with a, frankly, rather foolish and disposable income, then you're welcome. Actually, as well, if you wouldn't mind making a check out to Vinnie White and Elliot. What's your last name, Elliot?
Minardi.
Okay, so that's Vinnie White and Vinnie White. Then you can make a check out to me for, what did she ask for? $50? Start low, I think. Yeah, if you could make a check out for $50 and just send it to me. Don't worry about Kickstarter. Just send it here. And I will try to throw this piece of paper into the waste paper garbage bin. And Even if I fail, you still have to pay. All right, good. Quality Radio News Talk 1010. We'll be back in a minute.
You're tuned in to the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
Yeah, I've just had an impromptu mass of texts come in. I like it when this happens. Looks like people are taking the bull by the horns when it comes to what would be your ultimate Kickstarter campaign. One here. I want to raise $1 billion to call myself rich. Free photos from vacation hotspots for donors. Ka-ching! It's that simple, isn't it? Another one says here, I'm prepared to remove all my hair from my nipples as long as I can be sent to Japan. Again, another holiday seeker. I say, I mean, why put yourself through any pain? Just send a photograph of your nipples to someone. They'll be a taker. I hope things are good. And I should also say, Southwestern Christian University is not a Catholic university, as you refer to it on air. Okay, fair enough. I didn't know that. I stand corrected, like a man with an orthopedic shoe. So I went to an art show this week, and it was terrible. It was the worst art show I've ever been to in my life. It was absolutely appalling. And I think it was meant to be. And that's one of those weird, I think it was like a hipster irony thing. So I don't know where it was, because I got driven there by a friend. And I can't remember where it was, but I know it was downtown somewhere. And I've never been there. It was like in a side street in a huge garage. And it was full of bearded people with checkered shirts. And I knew when I walked in, I thought, it's not me. But, you know, I like to mix with all walks. And sometimes I fancy myself as an artiste. So I went in there, and it was packed, by the way. Absolutely packed. Midweek, I think it was Thursday night, and it was so loaded with people. Went in there, and there was nothing. And when I say that, I actually do really, essentially, literally mean it. So the whole show was a bit of a sort of cheeky con rip-off laugh at the viewer's expense. So there was just picture frames with nothing in them all around. And like a sheet, a plastic transparent sheet just pinned up to a wall with nothing underneath it. So just a bit of gaffer tape here, gaffer tape there. And then in the middle of the room, there was a load of boxes, cardboard boxes, and someone had written nothing on every box. So, you know, it's not worth the drive for the comedy you get back. Now, maybe he was, I don't know, maybe he was pissing himself, the artist that did all this. Perhaps it was, you know, wonderful for him. And perhaps I was on film, and I'll be in the Tate Modern in a year, and with my face on the floor and a look of bitter disappointment. Tell you what, I'm glad I didn't pay to get in, because that would have been a refund. Even on like 50 cents, I'd have gone mental. So I managed to go to this thing, and there was one saving grace. And let's be honest, the reason it was so packed, free beer. And I had a free beer, and I thought I couldn't really stand being in there, because like you're done in 10 seconds. There's nothing to see. There's nothing. It was a show of nothing. So I spilled out into the street and drank my can of beer in the street, which I'm aware is not legal in this country. But when you're doing it in numbers, it's all right. Safety in numbers. And there was about 100 people. Honestly, I'm not making it up. 100 people who had all. And the thing that annoyed me more than anything else, everyone was like, oh, my God, it's amazing. It's so good. I mean, what a show. And I was like, are you serious? It's, you know, when you go to art shows and there's always someone that goes, my kid could do that. It's way worse than that. There wasn't anything that a kid could. There was nothing. It was a show of nothing. Pathetic. And so there was this guy in a cravat. I hate people in cravats, particularly in summer. It's like 32 degrees that night. And he's wearing a cravat. And he's all like, I don't know, wannabe British, I suppose. He's got this sort of, maybe he was English. You know, many of us are bastards. And did this kind of, you know, Well, it's one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen. And I was just losing the will to live. And I suddenly became, you know, when you actually get, you're so bored, you're angry. I was there and I was really angry. Well, I've wasted my night. I'm here. I've lost my mate. And by the way, that was annoying me because he was one of those people that jumped to the other team saying, oh, it's really clever. It's so clever, you know, because there is literally nothing. Yes or no? I'm done with it. Can we go? There's a pub down the road. What am I doing walking around looking for you? And I was texting him. I couldn't get hold of him. So I said, right, sod it. I'll stand outside in the street and I'll have a can of beer. I finished it and I could see further down the street that there was a garbage can. And it, well, actually, it was recycling, even better. So I'm like, I'm heading towards that. And I don't know if it's the proprietor of the place or what. She comes running out. And she's like, you can't drink in the street. And I went, I know that, but don't worry about it. I'm just going to put it in that bin behind you. And she goes, there isn't a bin there. And I went, well, there is. It's there. And she goes, but that's even further away from the building. You'll have to go back in. And I said, but I don't want to go back in. There's nothing there. Pardon the obvious gag. And she goes, well, you can't drink it. I said, I'm not drinking. It's over. And I held the can upside down. And she said, look, the police are here. And the police were there. And the police were doing that thing. And I quite like the police for this. They thought, there's no point getting out of the car. We'll just make our presence known. We're not going to put the lights on. We can't be bothered. There's a bunch of hipsters drinking. I've got better things to do. They're going to be nice to each other and talk about art. They're not going to kick off. So it's all right. We'll just sit here in our car. Then I could see the police. And I had a can of beer in my hand. And you know what? Arrest me. I mean, come on. It's an empty can of beer. What do you think I'm going to do? Go and mug a granny. Well, he's had half a can. He's had another half can. He's going to mug someone. It's so uptight, this country. It really is. And I've spent a couple of weeks in the UK and you can drink in the street and you can drink on the beach and like you can in Quebec and most civilised places in the world. And so I'm trying to get to this bin, this garbage can, and she stands in front of me and then this happened and this is where I lost it. There was a fella with a beard. Well, actually, everyone had a beard. Hipsterville. Most of them were bald as well. Looked like they had their head on upside down. And it was a grey beard. And he said, hey, listen to the lady. Now, I don't like being told what to do. I've never liked it. I really don't like it when someone not involved gets involved. But what I really hate is a hypocrite. Because he had a drink in his hand and he's standing outside on the street. So you can't do that. So don't practice what you preach, mate. So, and I was a bit stressed, and obviously after a whole can of beer, I was remarkably drunk. So I said, and I can't say what I said, because it was really rude. Can I say that? No, it's too dangerous. It was really rude. It was really rude. Some of it was quite British, but even that was rude. I know there's some words that don't cross over that I can use, but it was despicable what I said. I'm actually ashamed of myself. But I called him, I'm going to use the word Muppet, but actually the word Muppet was way stronger. It was one syllable. It didn't begin with C. I wouldn't go that far. But it did begin with T and it had four letters. Do you want me to write it down and put it on the webcam? I've nearly said it now. Anyway, I said to him, oi, you're bearded. And he said, there's no need for that. And I walked up. Are we at the end of the show? Oh, no, we've got to do a break. Sorry, I'm going to have to somewhat kill the punchline. There isn't really one anyway. It was more of a rant than anything else. I went down the pub. And so if you're at that show, can you just text me or call me and just tell me what was that about? If it was good, like if you, when you said, Mr. Cravat, that it was one of the best things you've ever seen, if you really meant it, can you justify it? Because it was a warehouse with nothing in it. Honestly, you might as well, Best Buy's more interesting. At least you can play with some gadgets. You're listening to News Talk 1010.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I'm going to put a ban on mock English accents in adverts. Honestly. I'll leave you with this. Underwear thief flees in ice cream truck. Now that's my kind of headline. I could read things like this all my life. An ice cream truck was the getaway vehicle for a Rock Hill woman. Rock Hill is in the United States of America. Accused of stealing two pairs of underwear from the Dollar General store. General Dollar store. Never steal from a dollar store. If the American code is anything like the Canadian one, which I think it is, you get done for the same amount if you nick a pair of socks or a piano. I think it's up to something like, is it $4,999? Something like that. If you're a policeman, text me. I'm planning a massive heist. But anyway, never nick something worth a dollar. Go big or go home. Go big, then go home. Police say the 34-year-old shoplifting suspect put the garments, two pairs of underpants, how rude, in her purse on Thursday afternoon, then walked out the store without paying. She fled in a white ice cream truck. I need a subtle getaway vehicle. An officer was familiar with the woman matching the suspect's description, who operated an ice cream truck. Police went to the woman's home and arrested her. She's on $2,000 bail now for a couple of pairs. And I wonder if when the police were chasing her, they put their sirens on and she put her sirens on. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Chuck the Cornettos at him. Chuck them. She was charged with shoplifting before. You'd think she'd learn. So there you go. She's not going to be driving around in an ice cream truck anytime soon, which is good because, let's face it, the music's annoying. I always think that when you have ice cream trucks, rather than this, it should sound a bit more like this. You've been listening to The Mini White Show. I've been for What's His Face tomorrow. So I'll see you on here about 12 o'clock to 1. You can download podcasts from vinnywhite.co.uk. Always a pleasure. Never a chore. Yeah.